donate, and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back, and Wendy Wilson, Miss Apothecary Herb, she's asked me if I would let you folks know that from now to the 27th of November, she is having a 25% off on her miraculous medicine.
Good.
She does have some good medicines. They're not cheap, but they work. They're good.
Okay. Wow. For doing that and the way she makes that, that's a lot of work. That's
a lot of effort.
There's
a
tremendous amount of effort. So when they're not cheap, but for the amount of work goes into it, if you had to do it yourself, you would not want to do it.
Yeah. Nice.
When you need it, though, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
When you need it, because that liquid stuff that she has works so much quicker than the other. But anyhow, so... her phone number is 866-229-3663. Again, that's 866-229-3663. Now, folks, you're about to get most of you may have just gotten your newsletter. If not, you get the newsletter the next day or two. In there, I wrote a letter to you. And actually, I didn't. Pastor Hal did, but he did it on my request. But I wanted to say this here. If those of you who supported us, I really appreciate all of the support. We couldn't be here without you over the years. And we have never, ever, ever in 51 years given you anything other than our very best. We've never slacked. We worked very hard. And we don't take pay for doing this. We do this because the cause is a righteous cause. But because of Thanksgiving holiday coming up here, we're 2 days. We had to move up with the days that we have to pay the bill. We have to pay the light bill and 2 days earlier, which really shortens our time because Pledge Week starts next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so if all of you who were planning, if you were planning on donating to us, I want to thank you. And if you could do it if it's not too much of a problem, I would really appreciate it if you could do it 2 days early, if you could do it a little bit early, because that would help us out tremendously. And if you've been listening to us for all of these years and never donated, think about maybe this might be the time to start, because, again, we have never given you anything but our best, and we've done that now for 51 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've accomplished actually quite a bit, but because of your support, we wouldn't have been able to do it. Over 24,000 babies would have been saved, and all of the words that we've been able to get out and the people that we've been able to help, we wouldn't have been able to help. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people would have been forced to take the COVID kill shot had not we sent out those articles and that got them out of it. So anyhow, go ahead, Lisa.
Which one, this?
The
announcement? Okay. Well, save the date, folks, because the Geauga County Right to Life Christmas concert's coming up soon, Sunday, 7th of December at 7 p.m. That's at Chesterland Christian Center on 11815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio. Call 440-729-6203 for details. Come and join us and have a great evening while supporting the right to life. See you there.
All righty. I just wanted to say, this. We praise the good folks. Pastor Steve Sawchuk heads that up. And the concert is a real blessing. If you've ever been, Randy, you were there last year, I think.
Yes.
It's great.
Isn't it a blessing?
Yeah.
We don't charge anything. We take up a donation. Folks, they work very, very hard to put on this concert, and those at Geauga County Right to Life have worked very, very, very hard over these years saving babies, and this, again, they put in their time and their own money. This is one of our major fundraisers, and it's a win-win-win situation. The music is beautiful.
Yes.
And it gets to save more babies. In other words, we're not doing it to make money. We're not doing it because we're such great people. We're doing it because the cause is a righteous cause. And God's word, the Bible, demands that we rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. So you folks in Lake, Geauga, Ashtabula, Trumbull, and Portage counties, make your way out there. You can do it. It's less than an hour's drive for all of you, okay? And especially for those in Geauga County. And so come on out there and join and be with us. And that is on the 7th of December at 7 p.m. Give that address again, Lisa.
Okie doke. It's Chesterland Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306 in Chesterland. And again, the phone number to call for details, 440-729-6203.
For you folks out there in the area that know the area, it's located on Route 306, about 1 mile north of Route 322, or about 3 miles south of Route 6. And so, Lord's willing, I'll be there. I always come out every year, and I always speak every year, so come out and say hi to me.
Right? And I'll be there, too.
That's right.
Boy, I don't know what... Listen... Folks, she has to be there. I know. I hope that doesn't keep any of you from coming.
Oh, dear. It's great, folks. It's worth it.
That's right. Tell them, Lisa, you're going to sing for them, too.
No.
All righty. Very good. Randy, you were just at a situation where the wicked planned predators,
yes,
the most wicked, the most evil, creeping, crawling purveyors of death on planet Earth, killed more human beings than any army, filled with witches and murderers. Tell us where you were at there.
Well, we were out in Youngstown just this past Saturday, and we had our signs up to save the lives. They had a program going on. I don't know who their speaker was for Planned Parenthood, but it was to basically, amp up having more people be killed or whatnot, children be, and so we were out there. There was a good crowd of us out there, and then all of a sudden, these two witches. I knew they were witches. I could see it. But they came all dressed in red. One was so heavy set. I don't even know how she got in the big red cape that she had on. But
oh, poor thing.
And but they came out there and she immediately began cursing out some of the people that were on the other side of the street. And, we were praying, the music was going, and then they began to, after the cursing out and going back and forth, we were I forget exactly who it was she was cursing out, but they were just, they weren't cursing her back out. They were trying to just basically give the word. And the next thing you know, she's down on the ground and she was in her thing where she was praying to Satan. And we began praying against her. And I had sent the message back to Pastor as well. He prayed, and wasn't too long after that they left that area. And we were able to still do what we needed to do. But it just goes to show you how, how evil really hates us standing up. It hates the voice of resistance. It hates the truth. And so they sent, I guess you would call it their best. But, we know the Lord. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. So
all of those that hate God love death, says the proverb.
Yeah,
praise God.
Okay, Richard, you have an article there.
Yeah, I'll have one more here. This is an interesting thing. It says, legalized abduction. Children are at risk across America. Elisa Johnson, a mother from Oregon, hasn't seen her daughter in years. Not because of a crime, custody battle, or court order, but because the Oregon laws that let minors be removed from their parents and placed in host homes or foster programs without parents' consent under Oregon's law here. It gives us the site. If a child tells a teacher, counselor, or youth worker they feel unsafe at home, they can be taken into state custody immediately. No court order, no investigation, no due process. Unsafe doesn't mean abuse. It can be as simple as parents not using preferred pronouns or requiring homework before screen time. Once classified as an unaccompanied youth, a child gains access to state-backed programs offering housing, medical intervention, including gender transition services, while parents are cut out. Johnson calls this legalized abduction, describing it as a system that profits from keeping children in care while branding parents as the problem. Now, this is in Oregon. This similar situations are in California, where it expands the definition of the caregivers to include any adult with a mentoring relationship with a child. Also in Illinois, they're having this problem. It says that mandatory mental health screening for all public school students every year starting in third grade.
Good night.
Well, you've had a problem for a long, long time, Richard, with the... In fact, we had some of the same similar situation with child services here in Ohio.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because we got involved in a number of cases where they just came in and they took the children out of the home on false, you know, there were false charges and things that, now, of course, if the child is in danger, we definitely want the child, but there's got to be something that's there. Not,
yeah.
And... I remember an ACLU attorney who telling she went to the West Jaga High School library some years ago. I knew her. This was one that was after me, one of the pro-death. Her name was Linda and Rocker. And she, I went, when I heard that she was going to be there, I went down to the library and I stood. She was just inside the door, and she was talking to the seniors, the high school. And I stood just on the other side, and I had a tape recorder. And she was telling these children, look, you owe your parents nothing. You owe them nothing. You did not ask them to bring you in this world, and they did not have your permission to do that. Okay? Yeah, I'm not kidding you.
Jeez.
Okay? Therefore, your room is your sanctuary. Your room is your home, and they have no business going through your closets or your drawers. That's your private property. If they violate your privacy, you can call us and you can sue them, and you can get alimony, okay, from them, okay. That's what she was telling these high school kids. Well, I had that all. I took it and put it right on the radio, okay?
Good for you.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, we have to stand up for this kind of things, and this is where the church needs to be talking about this kind of atrocities. The problem is, legally, they can get away with that, and part of it is because of marriage licenses.
Yeah.
A marriage license allows them to own the issue of the marriage or the increase of the marriage, and that would be your children. So, you know, that's one way people aren't educated enough with licensing.
Explain that. Now, I don't know if it's – I haven't seen it in years, but I know that used to be there was a contract that went along with that people never saw, okay? And in that it said that This is a union between Mr. Smith, Mrs. Jones, and the state of Ohio, the state of Ohio being the benefactor of all fruits born of this union.
Yes.
All fruits mean your children and whatever property you gained. Mm-hmm. And this is where probate court comes in, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think, too, that they really pushed hard on this. And a lot of people, when they realized that, especially those that had some wealth, went in and they got rid of the Barry's license and got one by the church. And first of all, the government has no business in marriage. See, God gave us, that's the very first divine institution that God gave man. Mm-hmm. And that belongs in the church, not in government.
Yes, and where they play the game is if you want anything, any kind of recognition from any form of the government, state, local, or federal, you have to have a marriage license. That's what they're playing with that.
And well,
so even I went down into the Amish country and went to the clerk's office down in where there's a lot of Amish people, and they said 80% of their business is by the Amish getting licenses. So the Amish people are falling into this trap too. So, you know, I thought maybe the Amish or the Mennonite would at least be excluded. But if they want any kind of anything from the government, and that would be including if you say you want a loan from the bank to buy a house as a husband and wife,
right,
they will not recognize it unless it's a marriage license.
Huh.
So it's no matter what you do, if it has anything to do with the government, they insist on a license. Mm. And but with them doing that, what it does then is ties your children into this nonsense that we just went over here in this article.
Yeah. Well, there is a way of getting around that in the Unregistered Baptist Church Law, Baptist Law Association, shows you how what you can do is you go to your marriage certificate that you receive from the church, and you have that introduced as your official document in the court of courts there, and they can
not anymore.
I promise you, you can't do that anymore. Yeah. I went to six different clerk of courts in six different counties.
You can't do that now?
You cannot do that anymore.
The Ohio has changed their law in, what, 1991, I think?
Yeah, 91.
1991, they've changed the law, and you cannot file it anymore. Because years ago, I did a number of weddings, and that's exactly what the people did, was they just went down and filed their covenant agreement, and no problem. Now, they've changed the law, and we went to six different places. I went to a few too, and they won't nowhere. That's why I went down into the Amish country, into whatever that way south. What is that county that's very Amish?
Was that Holmes County?
Holmes County. Oh, yeah, I think it's Holmes County. Yeah, okay. I went down there and I talked to the clerk of courts, and I says, you know, and no, they wouldn't file it. They would not file it. You could not do anything.
Wow.
There's no general file in the county clerk's office anymore. You know, years ago you used to be able to, I'm going to file it into the general or miscellaneous file. There's no such thing anymore in there in any of the counties.
Wow.
Well, we got to do something about that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't, they will not reckon, you can have a marriage within the church and not, but you cannot have then any state, federal, city, any benefit from any government agency if you don't have the license. Nothing.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, we made a lot of effort to try to find that out, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't, you can't get around it anymore. Years ago, you could.
There has been a big, big increase in the number of GPS's spoofing and jamming attacks aimed at interfering with global navigation satellite systems. I wondered about that. How those GPS, and see here, data which standard on all international airlines, according to UN aviation agencies. Stanford University, which keeps a database of incidents, reported that 25 planes were affected by GPS jamming over Utah on one night on October 29th.
Wow.
On October 25th, GPS jamming off the west coast of Ireland lasted 5 hours and 6 minutes and affected 87 planes, according to the database. Russia and North Korea are two of the bad actors responsible for the uptick in UN agency, stated in an early October report. GPS jamming has already led to one aviation disaster. According to Jeremy Bennington, Vice President of Strategy and Innovations at Spirent, which tests networks, Bennington cited the incident on December 25th, 2024, in which an Azerbaijan Airlines Flight 8243 crashed near Atkta, Kazakhstan, after being struck by Russian missiles shrapnel. Marino Panacea, CEO of Anello Photonics, an expert on spoofing and jamming, told the Epic Times that the pilot would have been flying blind once the GPS signal was lost.
Wow.
So there you go.
Goodness sakes.
It caused them to fly into enemy territory, I guess, there, or to Russian territory. Go ahead, little Lisa.
Okay, this one is by Christina Lila. Democrat Senator John Fetterman was hospitalized on Thursday after a fall near his home in Braddock. Fetterman was transported to a hospital in Pittsburgh, quote, out of the abundance of caution. According to Fetterman's office, the Democrat senator had a, quote, ventricular fibrillation flare-up, unquote, that led him to feeling lightheaded. A full statement from his office says during an early morning walk, he sustained a fall near his home in Braddock. Out of an abundance of caution, he was transported to the hospital, and upon well, I already read that. They're just repeating. Anyway, he's doing well and receiving routine observation at the hospital. He has opted to stay so doctors can fine-tune his medication regime. He is grateful for the EMTs, doctors, and nurses who are providing his care.
They say that Fetterman may be the only Democrat that's not a Democrat.
Right. Yes.
The only one that's got any common sense at all.
Right.
Yes. Wow.
So.
Yep. All right. Oversight Dems release new Epstein emails that mention Trump. Instantly backfires on them. It says on Wednesday morning, the Democrats committee and oversight released a tranche of correspondence from the Epstein estate, claiming to strike a blow against the White House's Epstein cover-up. The three unrelated emails range in dates from 2011 through 2019. In response to the release, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt told Fox News Digital, the Democrats selectively leaked emails to the liberal media to create a fake narrative to smear President Trump. Says the first email from 2011 was a correspondence between Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell from April 2nd, 2011. Epstein wrote to Maxwell a little after 2 p.m. Maxwell responds almost 5 hours later by saying, I have been thinking about that. The redacted victim, according to the House GOP Oversight Committee, is Virginia Guffrey, who tragically is reported to have taken her own life in April 2025. Why did Democrats cover up the name when the estate didn't redact it in the redacted documents? It's because the victim, Virginia Guffrey, publicly stated that she never witnessed wrongdoing by President Trump. In fact, Guffrey's sworn testimony in her lawsuit against Epstein exonerates President Trump from any wrongdoing that she's aware of. Guffrey's testimony states, or stated that President Trump didn't partake in any sex with us and that Donald Trump never flirted with me. But besides deceptively redacting Guffrey, who exonerated President Trump, this email also shed some light on the duo's concern about a potential confidential informant within their network. It says, in March 2011, just before the email was sent, the BBC reported that Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, came in for a steady stream of criticism over his friendship with U.S. tycoon Jeffrey Epstein, which may have concerned Epstein and Maxwell. It says, this interview from Edward said, the only thing that I could say about President Trump is that he is the only person who in 2009, when I served a lot of subpoenas on a lot of people, or at least gave notice to some pretty connected people that I wanted to talk to them, he was the only person who picked up the phone and said, let's just talk. I'll give you as much time as you want. I'll tell you what you need to know. And he was very helpful in the information that he gave and gave no indication whatsoever that he was involved in anything untoward whatsoever, but had good information that checked out and helped us. And we didn't have to take a deposition of him.
Well, one of the things that about that is she has two different names that she went by, but we played the clip of her. We played the clip of her on the radio program right here where she said, if you hear that I committed suicide, I did not commit suicide. I am not suicidal, but I know that they're planning on killing me. Okay. Yeah. Now, she had a lot of evidence on the Clintons, okay? And here, there was another woman also that worked at Mar-a-Lago, and Epstein came there and tried to get her to leave and go, and Trump stopped him. Mm-hmm. And Trump he banned him from there. So he went out and he was telling people that he thought Trump was coming down with Alzheimer's. Epstein was telling people, and he referred to Trump as the dog that's not barking.
Right.
Was that in there, Ted?
Yeah, I could read that if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
And Maxwell had come out and said that Trump that never had anything. Now, I believe at one time he did ride on that plane.
Mm-hmm. The Lolita.
It didn't go to the island. It was going to some other country. They went to some kind of a conference, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Epstein was working with Mossad. He was a Mossad agent, mm-hmm. okay? Or what they call... And they also worked with the CIA. They were protecting him. But mm-hmm. this other woman also, like I said, Trump caught Epstein and banned him, and Epstein come out and said, this is what the Democrats, what they tried to do is they wanted to, that's why they blacked out her name and everything. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
Yeah. in reference to the dog that hasn't barked, that has embarked comparison is a common phrase derived from Sherlock Holmes, The Adventure of Silver Blaze, one of the most popular short stories by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. In that story, a champion racehorse killed its trainer in self-defense, thwarting a plot to sabotage the horse. Sherlock Holmes deduced that the dog didn't bark at the intruder trying to steal the horse because it was someone familiar to the stables that the dog recognized. The saying suggests the absence of an expected event and that a lack of action is itself a significant clue. Given that Epstein goes on to mention that Trump has never once been mentioned by the police chief, etc., and that Epstein is 75% there, It suggests that Epstein believed Trump may be an informant, the dog that didn't bark and is therefore not mentioned by law enforcement out of confidentiality.
Well, Trump did turn him in. Trump did turn him in. We'll be back right after this. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This world is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. That guy can sing. Hey, listen, I'm going to ask, you know that style thing's pretty smart, right?
Styles is very smart.
So yes. Okay, so.
And spunky.
Hey, mm-hmm. Well, he's spunky.
Yes.
Hey, Style.
Yeah.
How many bridges in the United States need repair?
Most.
You got it. The number is 220,000. 220,000.
Wow.
I bet you that's the number you were thinking of.
Yeah.
It was somewhere close to that, you know?
Already. The daily commute in Morden, Massachusetts, gateway to Cape Cod, can feel like a never-ending race with frantic traffic challenging even the best drivers. Sundays are especially hard for Kathy Anderson, a waitress at a popular restaurant a few miles from her home. Waiting to leave her street in bumper-to-bumper traffic pushes her patience to the limit. "We need to do something," Anderson told the Epoch Times during a brief full lull in the service at the breakfast restaurant at Buzzards Bay on Friday morning. "Where I live in Sagamore, it's crazy. You can't move at all." From her window, she can see the iconic Sagamore Bridge arching against the horizon. It is one of two aged steel giants that span the Cape Cod Canal. Just 3 miles from Sagamore Bridge, the Bourne Bridge raises stoically from the south along U.S. Route 6 in Buzzard Bay, creating another vital connection. Both bridges serve as poignant reminders of the Depression era, past the constant flow of cars, trucks, and narrow bridges, however, makes each commute stressful. What goes on to say that they're in bad shape, and that most of the bridges in this country are in bad, bad shape. You know, the thing of it was is all of that tax money that was collected during Biden's years. You remember Buttigieg? Remember Buttigieg, the
yes.
Transportation? He said there were bridges that, they were racial. The bridges were racial. There were some bridges that were anti-black. And now I don't know, but they were built especially by white people for white people. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
So I wasn't able to figure that out, okay?
I don't think you could figure out half of what he said anyway. Nothing made sense.
But they spent tons and tons of money, lots of money to supporting LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers throughout the world.
Yes.
Woke drag queens, all of this stuff. Didn't spend any money repairing bridges, though, did they?
No.
You know, something happened, and I don't know exactly what happened, but back when I was working with Ohio Bell, we used to do routines on the telephone equipment and preventative maintenance. And something changed in the economy or in the mindset of the officials. But preventive maintenance doesn't take place anymore. They don't repair anything as they go. They wait till it totally breaks, and then they fix it. So, and that's what's happened with our roads. They used to, you know, take care of these bridges and that, and they'd go in and repair a stanchion or something to keep it going. Now, wait till it's so bad that you can't use it anymore, and then we'll just either rip it down and replace it, or we'll repair it at that point. But the preventive maintenance mentality got changed somewhere in the, I don't know if it was the 70s or 80s or whenever it was, but it was a drastic change that I witnessed and lived through doing work on the phone with the phone company.
Yeah. Well, here in Ohio, especially out in like Geauga County and that, they are repairing the bridges. What they do is they shut down one lane in the bridge and they repair it one side at a time.
Good.
And they've been doing a lot of that. And I got to say, there's been no shortage of working on the highways around here because they've got roads closed everywhere all the time.
Yes.
Which, you know, but. And I praise the good Lord for that working on the roads. And I think that really if they did more concrete roads and less pavement, I know concrete's much more expensive, but it lasts so much longer than the pavement does.
Yeah.
But anyhow, but our bridges are in pretty bad shape. A lot of them, they're not in good shape at all. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, we have.
I think
you have another article there.
I'm done.
Okay. This one is on, I'm sorry, Tucker Carlson apologizes to Liz Cheney for ripping her following her father's death. It says that Daily Caller News Foundation co-founder Tucker Carlson apologized to former Republican Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney on Wednesday for the statements he made about her following former Vice President Dick Cheney's death. Following Cheney's death, Carlson told SiriusXM's Megyn Kelly that he would consider suicide if he had a daughter like Liz Cheney. During the episode of the Tucker Carlson Show, Carlson said that he attacked Cheney's daughter in a vicious way and that it was hard for him to believe that he said that. And I said that her father would be ashamed of her, and if I had a daughter like that, I'd probably kill myself, which is an awful thing to say. It's kind of hard to believe I said that, Carlson said, but in my mind I was thinking of all the people I dislike. Liz Cheney would probably be at the top of the list. Because we disagree so profoundly, I told myself clearly, I must have told myself that you can say anything you want about Liz Cheney. She's not really human. You can say anything you want, including something really awful and nasty, like if I were her dad, I would kill myself. Who thinks like that? Who talks like that? Well, I did. And so I just want to say I'm sorry to Liz Cheney, and I mean that too. I mean that. I shouldn't have said that, Carlson continued.
Well, one of the things that Liz Cheney is known for is what she did with the January 6th committee. She was on that committee. She was one of the driving forces behind putting all of those patriots, the Christian patriots, in prison. Mm-hmm. Cheney has always been one of those that were involved with the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. She was you had those families who's invested money in war. They always made money in war. And you had senators, the daughters, or the sons and daughters of Nancy Pelosi, of Mitt Romney, of John Kerry, of course, here, she was one of them. Mm-hmm. They were all involved in it. Remember when we were telling you about Ukraine being the money laundering capital of the world? We told you this years ago, you know, all of what was going on in there. Mm-hmm. And when the United States under Biden shipped all of those rounds of ammunition, they wanted to ship all of our rounds of ammunition, get them out of our military, away from our country. That's what Biden did. He was out to destroy us. We told you, look, they're never going to be used by the Ukrainian army. They're going to go there, and you got all of those people that deal in the war, the arms dealers, black market arms dealers, and they were lined up. And all that went there and went right on the black market. We told you it would, okay? Mm-hmm. But you had all these people involved there in the military-industrial complex. They were all part of that. And that's what Liz Cheney was known for. There were certain people that make a lot of money off war, and one of those that's always pushing it is Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is another.
Yeah.
He's always ready to go to war, the war hog. Because there's money to be made if you invest in the right. Hmm. Yeah. Columnists suggest Eric Swalwell, that's Fang Fang's man, Swalwell, is disqualified for Congress for lacking residence in California. You know, it seems like all of these people, for the very same things they accused Trump of doing, it looks like they're all getting the chickens are coming home to roost, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Already, mortgage fraud charges have caught up with New York Attorney General Letitia James and ex-FBI Chief James Comey, both of who were involved in multiple lawfare cases against President Donald Trump. Hang on. A columnist posted, the Gateway Pundit explains, Swalwell apparently has no residence in California, which he represents, possibly running afoul of legal requirements. If it is columnist Joel Gilbert who charges that Swalwell has been criticized in recent years for his alleged ties to the Chinese spy Fang Fang and his removal from the House Intelligence Committee over national security concerns, he might be in serious trouble this time. It's because Swalwell, on legal documents, formally has declared that his Washington, D.C. property is his principal residence. That affirmation comes on his public deed of trust for his home. He made this statement as a condition for a loan on the property. He apparently has no residence listed either as owned or rented by him in California, the report says. Under Article 1, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, members of Congress must be inhabitants of the state they represent at the time of their election. Gilbert wrote, in California, maintaining his inhabitancy means holding tangible, verifiable ties to the state, such as owning or renting a residence, registering to vote, paying state income taxes, and possessing a California driver's license. In fact, the California Elections Code insists is domicile the places which his or her inhabitant is fixed and the place where a person intends to return and remain. Anyhow, look what time it is, fellas. Yeah. It's, you know, what you got to do. Yeah, it's that time. It's the most important time of the program.
That's right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Well, amen. At the top of the hour, Pastor, began reading the various scriptures relating to hell, the fact that hell is real, and some people want to say that hell is not real. We need to understand this. According to the Word of God, it says that Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The bottom line, folks, is that, look, as the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then to lose his soul? The only thing that you have when you cross over is your soul. You don't see hearses that travel with people's big, huge things that they've accumulated in their life behind them. When you cross over, your soul is either ready for heaven or hell. And the Bible says this, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where do the sinners and the ungodly stand? And I'll say this, all days are not the same. There's a day that is going to be significantly different than other days. A day of reckoning is coming. Will you be ready? And you can be ready. You can have full assurance and know that you are saved if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. I'll say this before I turn this over. It's not anything you want to play with. I believe that I am saved. I believe that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I tell you, just last week, there was a thunderstorm that was going on, and I'm not typically one that's scared, but there was a thunder crack that hit so hard, it just made me think of the severity and the awesomeness of God, and I just said, Lord, I said, if there is anything, I say, I just want to be saved, I just want to be right, and I want to tell you that as Pastor mentioned, he talked about where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Some people want to try to tell you that, again, not only is hell not real, but that, you know, once you die, once you cross over, it's all over. But the Bible is telling us it's quite different than that. Hell is real, but so is heaven, and so is God's mercy and his grace and his love and his ability to forgive you if you would but turn to him.
And that's the most important thing that we can do is look to God for our salvation. And, you know, hell is as real as heaven. And heaven is a real place, and that's where the Lord abodes. And that's where we all want to go, I hope. And so the most important thing is making that decision to believe. And it's nothing we did. Jesus did it all for us. We are saved by grace through faith in him and him alone. And so our belief is in Jesus Christ and believing who he is, that he came to this earth, he was born of a virgin, he lived a perfect life, he shed his blood on the cross for our sins, he died, and the key is he rose again on the third day. That's the belief that you need, and you need to trust in him for his saving power and turn to him, turn your life over to him. And the point being is God is a jealous God. So it's not Jesus plus something else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. That's where our belief has to come in. So all we need to do is just to ask. We know we're a sinner because the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we know we're a sinner. We need to admit that we've sinned. And even if we've sinned just a little bit, that's enough to keep us out of heaven. So we need to admit that we're a sinner and we need a Savior, and we're being willing to turn to and trust him to be a Lord and Savior over our lives. And if we turn to him and ask him to come into our lives, it's a simple request. Just ask God, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you for a Savior. I believe who you are and that you are capable of saving me, and I want to trust you and trust you alone." In Jesus Christ's name you pray, and that's it. That's as simple as that. Salvation is such a simple act, and mankind has always tried to make it different and more complicated. We're not saved by works. There's nothing you can do for your salvation. It's just a belief in him. If you do that, you're saved, the scripture tells us.
All right, very good. Folks, let me, it's this simple too. Look, some people say, well, what if that's not true? Well, if it's not true, then if you've called upon the name of the Lord and you die, then there's nothing changes. But if it is true, wow, it couldn't be worse. It could not be worse for you to die in your sin. We're out of time for tonight, so I want to say thanks for being here, all you folks, and until tomorrow, we want to say good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless.
God bless.
You all. And then we always say, and always keep fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.